Good morning, everybody. We're here for another Nacho Tuesday. And today I have Scott with Digital Carbon Online. Scott's actually at an event right now. He was able to tune in live. They're actually over there in London right now. If you'd like to give a little bit more backstory on what you're up to today and tell us more about your company and how you're helping companies reduce their carbon footprint 2024.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me on. So yes, I am at the Climate Impact Show in London today, where we've got 500 or so people over the next two days kind of convening, talking about all kinds of technologies and policy and funding issues regarding climate and how we can deal with that. It's been an absolutely eye-opening day today already, but I have had to find somewhere quiet to take this call, and I am in the library, which is part of a library, which is the staff room of the organizers. So you might see a few people wandering past, but I can't really kick them out. It's their event. But I'm at the Royal Institution, right in the center of London, a very historical place to be. And I'm honored to be here and also talking to you on this event right now.
Perfect. Well, we could definitely say that you practice what you preach. So what are some of the key takeaways from the conference this year?
Well, I think it's a bit early to talk about takeaways. I mean, it's halfway through day one. But I think it's there's been a lot of conversation that I've been involved in terms of voluntary carbon markets and how what's needed to progress those to kind of overcome the trust issue that we've had in not too distant past. There's been a lot of talk about kind of repurposing $1 trillion worth of oil and gas infrastructure and moving it into something more more green, as well as the nascent kind of decarbonization of energy grids. That's just some of the things that I've been involved in, or listening to rather, taking part in that way. So there's lots still to happen, and I'm sure I'm just scratching the top of it today. There's so much more.
Yep. Well, we expect the full report when you're done. Just kidding.
Follow me on LinkedIn. There's two interesting, well, I think they're interesting, but two posts that I put out there on LinkedIn already with two of the talks I've been in, which have got some more highlights in them as well.
Excellent. So I guess what's holding back the move towards reducing carbon footprints? Where do you see the lag globally, you know, especially in the developing world?
Well, I mean, that's a really, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, or more than that, isn't it? It's the trillion-dollar question, kind of what's slowing us down, what's kind of speeding us up. I think, you know, I was having just a conversation just now before we started this call about whether this is something that we should continue trying to push on to individual consumers to make it their problem, or whether there's much more kind of institutional change and institutional influence that needs to happen. And I think we're moving away from the idea that it's the individual's responsibility. After all, that was a hangover of kind of big oil control over this market. But there's still definitely a part that needs to be driven by people like us, people who care, people who have a role and an influential role, yeah, as well as creating that kind of institutional or even government level intervention and change. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to happen. It comes down to, when in the business community, it comes down to return on investment, clearly, but it also comes down to regulation. And I see regulation is simultaneously getting stronger, but also becoming fragmented. And lots of businesses I speak to are not sure which way they should be looking in terms of which standard, which framework they should be deploying or following or implementing towards.
Yeah, and a lot of times, especially for business, it really works well to incentivize them to actually, you know, make the change themselves, right? Businesses are very, you know, focused on, you know, what they get out of it, if you want. I think it still requires a lot of education too, especially to get the consumers to really move forward and make a difference. Otherwise, you know, that's kind of where the government comes in, where you can get a smaller group of people to, you know, institute changes a little bit more quickly.
Yeah, and I think something really brought it back to me today in one of these talks about the voluntary carbon market. One of the panelists was talking about how the scope of the problem is we need to remove billions of tons of carbon from the atmosphere. The only other, another industry that moves that kind of amount of stuff mm-hmm. around at that kind of volume is the oil and gas industry. So ironically, you know, we're at a very early stage of this, of our ability to remove that kind of quantity from the atmosphere, but yet we have to scale it very rapidly to the size of the oil and gas industry today. So it's kind of ironic how we see that kind of comparison, but that's where we are. And that's where the government money and the kind of influence and the policy setting will really help drive things. But when we're talking to businesses, there's many things that we can do each and every day that we can do to, one, improve our footprint, to demonstrate our commitment to amplify our impact through our suppliers, our customers, our employees, and beyond. So that's what we're hopefully going to talk about today.
Yeah, so I guess, how did you get to this point in your career? What inspired you to start Digital Carbon Online? And tell us about your journey, how you got here.
That's a 4-hour conversation, but let me try and cut it down to something a bit shorter. So my background is in technology innovation. I worked in telecoms kind of before the turn of the century. I worked in big telecom over here in Vodafone on a global scale, and then I worked with some Californian companies and some Seattle companies. And throughout that time, I was kind of transitioning from big tech through to startups and beyond. Around 2017, 2018, I realized that I was chasing job titles and money, and something was missing. And subsequently, people have told me that's my midlife crisis, but it was a bit more than that. And I realized I needed to kind of find a place where I could put kind of my interest, my passion, my talents to some kind of better use. And I came away from that kind of moment, and I decided I need to focus on kind of this Venn diagram of sustainability and technology, and where it kind of came in the middle. Yeah. I had no idea how I was going to make it work, but I was passionate that if I focused on this with all of my integrity, then something would happen. And I'll cut the story a little bit short now because we're getting into the 4-hour version. But this kind of ultimately led me to really working on kind of technologies that were having a positive impact on the planet, into digital carbon footprints, understanding that actually our digital technologies have an impact on the environment as well, one that we probably are not so aware of because they're not so obvious. Yep. And that led me to realize that actually in that conversation where you talk about digital carbon footprints, it kind of follows a very similar path of everybody you speak to. It's first of all, there's that awareness, that aha moment where people go, yeah, I suppose it does. And then it's kind of, wow, it's a big, complicated problem. Where do we start? How do we do it? And you know what? It's far too complex. I'll leave it for tomorrow. So I decided actually I could create something that would help them understand it and help them take action and hopefully help drive further change as well. So that's kind of what got me to this point.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because a lot of people probably don't think about their website putting off a lot of carbon. It's, you know, just something you're looking at online. But what you guys do, if you could explain it in more detail, you guys kind of help quantify that and give people a better idea for what you know, what kind of digital impact that they're having on reducing carbon. Can you go into more detail in terms of like how your company works and how you help people become more aware of how they can protect the environment better and reduce their carbon footprint?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think first of all, it's worth understanding that the total kind of holistic carbon footprint of the internet is often cited as one of two metrics. So one of them is it's either, if you think about it as a nation, the fourth largest emitter behind Russia, China, USA, and I think it comes in just above Russia. So, I mean, that's enormous. The other way of looking at it is that it emits more greenhouse gases than the entire aviation industry. So, I mean, we're talking about a big problem here. People are also talking about, often ask me, well, seeing as the technology sector is one of the fastest decarbonizing sectors on the planet, isn't this problem going to go away when we have renewable energy? Well, I think the fact with that is actually it won't, because in the IPCC report a few years ago, they said that they didn't have enough faith in the fact that renewable energy would catch up with demand for energy. Yep. So And actually, I heard this just this morning in a panel session down here where we had the US, a representative from the US Department of Energy talking about the importance of fusion, because the demand of energy is just kind of growing exponentially, whereas the renewables is still growing fast, not fast enough. So, I mean, there's that kind of thing, that frame that sets the kind of sets the scene. It's a big problem. But if we look at websites as that starting point, that entry in, pretty much every business nowadays has a website. How much they use it, how much they leverage it is very variable. And how critical it is to their business is also, there's also a high degree of variability there. But everyone has one. So that means that everyone is emitting some level of carbon emissions. And that's not just by having the website. Every time somebody comes to that website and interacts with it and orders a product or just browses through your images and your videos, you're generating carbon emissions. So what we're trying to do is help people understand that, first of all, you do have a footprint from your digital tech. It is a big footprint. And there's something that you can do, every single business owner on the planet can do, to help mitigate that. And even though that might be a small piece of the overall equation, there's two real benefits for that. One is that collectively, I think we've got 112 billion active websites on the planet. So that's a lot of websites. If we can kind of take a small bit out of all of those, we can have an enormous impact, hopefully, to reduce the internet's kind of carbon footprint from that of the aviation industries. So the other piece is that these small moves, as somebody stated to me just the other day, it's these small things that embolden us to take greater steps. Yep. There's a business that's not quite sure where to go or how to start. This is a really good place to do it. So that's kind of what the tool is there for. It's to help you understand it, help you track it, but also to reduce it and to give you that kind of encouragement and pointers towards doing something bigger, something better as well on top of this.
Yeah, and if you're more aware of it too, it kind of moves you more towards action, right? So just kind of visualizing the problem for people. Now, me as a marketing guy, I always try to do that, right? It's better to show, not tell, what the problem is, so people are more likely to take action on it and want to do something about it. And a lot of these companies, especially with AI, are generating a lot of, using a lot of electricity for running all these different processes, data processing, data storage even. That takes up a lot of energy, right? So I don't think a lot of people are really thinking in terms of the electrical output that's required to maintain some of these websites, like say Facebook or some of these social media sites. You know, they process a ton of data and they store a lot as well. And a lot of this with the advent of AI and moving into quantum computing as well too, the energy demands are going to go through the roof.
Absolutely. This came up on another webinar just recently as well. Someone was talking about the impact of AI on the carbon footprint of the internet. And I think the last time those studies were put together in terms of comparing it to the aviation industry or nations was 2018, 2019. So AI has obviously flourished and boomed since then. And now the statistic I remember was that actually a ChatGPT search requires 100 times more energy than a Google search.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah, it's a hundred times more, potentially 100 times more damaging to ask the same question of two different systems.
So I guess what tactics or processes would you recommend for business leaders to take advantage of in order to reduce their carbon footprint? Something meaningful, maybe a small step that a lot of these companies can undertake. That might not be obviously they're not going to come up with a new energy source today or anything like that. But every business can make their own small impact in a way or so. But what would you recommend for these businesses?
If you want to go away and create a new energy source, please do. Let us know about it tomorrow. That'd be great. And I'm sure there are companies out there trying to do that. But beyond that, what's within your remit? And I think, when we talk about carbon footprints, it's a very broad topic. And there are companies out there that maintain, huge estates or laboratories or processing plants or supply chains. Those people, I think the biggest area that they need to focus on is really reducing that as much as they can. Yeah. I am speaking with a number of multinationals who are doing just that, and they're still doubling down on digital sustainability as well, because they realize that out of all of their areas of their business, digital is the one that's continuing to accelerate. Mm-hmm. With what they're calling the double transition, the digital transformation and the carbon transformation. So this is an area that I'm very passionate about. I was lucky enough to be asked to write a paper on it for the academic sector a couple of years ago. So my work is really focused on digital carbon footprinting right now. So yeah, I can obviously say a great place to start, as we've been talking about, is by using digital carbon online to be able to go there and measure, assess the carbon footprint of your website and work out which of your pages are causing the most emissions, and kind of help you kind of go from that point. We've got built-in technologies to allow, before I say that, I'll come back to the built-in technologies, but the funny thing is, with a website, the only way to have a zero emission website is to not have one. But that's clearly not going to be any good. That's good for many of the businesses. Yeah, exactly. From a marketer's perspective, that's your worst thing to hear, right? But there's a way to get it to kind of a neutral position. So first of all, the technology that we built here is going to help you find the pages and the kind of parts of your website that are causing the most harm, the most damage. So that then can kind of focus you into kind of improving those. And actually, by improving that, you actually improve your business in many other ways as well. There's plenty of studies that show that focusing on kind of a lower carbon website actually can help improve usability of your site, which can lead to improved ROI and improved business anyway. So it's definitely a good thing to do. And then, you know, on top of that, you're never going to get it to zero. You're going to get it as low as you can. But at some point, you're going to want to think about, and you got to be careful of the wording here, because I'm not talking about offsetting, but I'm talking about removals. So removals from me are, we built this into the platform so you can also sponsor removals, which are projects, like some of them are actually here today in this event, which are focusing on very near-term carbon removal and storage from the atmosphere. So, yeah, that's obviously one way. I'm going to tell you what you should do right away after this call. Go start digital carbon online. There's other things you can do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say there's other things you can do on the digital carbon space, and I'll mention those as well, because I think that will be useful for people to do instantly. Mm-hmm. So, when you're using digital technologies, we've become accustomed to just leaving things on. And I always have this story about my gran when she got a TV for the first time with a remote control, and you could turn it on and off with a remote, and you'd have a little red LED. She used to go crazy if we left the red LED on because of the amount of energy it was wasting. Yeah. But in a couple of generations, or in a generation really, we've become accustomed to seeing the little red dot, to leaving things on. But all of these things kind of are like vampires. They just suck the energy out and do no good. So my first thing is, I have this kind of call to action. It's don't stand by, turn off. So find those things you don't need to leave on. Turn them off. That will make an impact. Yep. And then the other one, ironically, while we're on a webinar recording a video, is actually, you don't need to use a video all the time in big calls with your team or things like that, where you know each other. I mean, yes, video adds real value to certain things. You can see how I'm feeling, for example. Those kind of things. As a manager, it's really important. But I have this other thing. It's be heard, not seen. So switch to audio when you can, because it makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, that's a really good tip there, actually. What are your thoughts on carbon credits? Are you're kind of aware of the concept. Do you think there might be an opportunity for maybe a carbon credits type system where, you know, maybe there are companies that are actually undertaking efforts to reduce their carbon footprint, and, you know, maybe they could, you know, pay some sort of I'm not a fan of like forcing it, of course, but, you know, maybe they could earn like carbon credits if they pay into like a system to kind of help maybe develop technology or promote sustainability in some way. Just kind of support that ecosystem, kind of a self-imposed tax, if you will, with some sort of a benefit on the back end for the business. Obviously not forcing it on people, but if they so choose to do that, do you think there would be any opportunity there?
I'd like to say emphatically yes, but this has actually been another conversation that I was listening to just now about the state of voluntary carbon markets and carbon credits. And the biggest hindrance at the moment, and this came out of a conversation about how to create carbon credits from rewilding projects. So we've now got carbon credits from reforestation and deforestation projects, but rewilding is a new type. And what needs to happen in order to be able to get those carbon credits? There's a number of things. You need regulation, you need standards, you need verification, all of that stuff. But you also, that all leads to creating an asset class that can be traded. So I think in terms of what you were just asking, I think yes, emphatically, absolutely, that would be a great thing to do. But it's going to require all of these things, and then to have an asset class to be created to enable that to work kind of in a market.
Yeah, and people have to be motivated always, right? You know, I always believe, I'm a firm believer that with the proper motivation, you know, businesses will always, you know, do the right thing. But you have to kind of come up with a win-win solution there that, you know, allows them to be able to do the right thing to reduce their carbon footprint. But it's also motivating for them. Maybe it's a better online reputation, you know, what have you. But there has to be some sort of like a positive outcome for them as well, too, that's tangible, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things that we built into Digital Carbon Online as well. It's you want to do the right thing, and that's either because you've got the carrot or the stick. So the carrot is that you want to do the right thing because your employees, your staff, your customers, your suppliers, whoever it is, are encouraging you to do that, and you want to do it because you want to create that positive impact.
Yep.
The stick, on the other hand, is the regulations coming, and the regulation is making you do it, or your customers are telling you that they've got regulation. So there's the carrot and stick kind of dynamic here as well. So there's that piece that we want to really help companies with. And many of my clients are working on many different kind of carbon footprinting technologies and reducing scope 2 and scope 1 emissions. And this is another thing that they can go back to their supply chain, either upstream or downstream, and say, look, this is our demonstration of our commitment. We've gone and addressed this, and we're dealing with digital carbon footprints from our websites. And to help them with that, we have a digital carbon verified badge that they can put on the website. They can use in their collateral, and which can be verified back against our system. And we provide that. We provide transparency as well through a publicly accessible dashboard. So it's optional at the moment, but clients are, you know, beginning to put this out to say, look, this is the impact we had. We started off here and we kind of come down here. So it is trying to give them the kind of something to address a regulatory or a kind of social pull, but also to be able to help them claim credit. Yeah, maybe that's exactly the two wrong words, but talk about their achievements and demonstrate their commitment.
Definitely. So you're more a fan of the carrot as opposed to the stick, but there might be, it's probably the best case scenario probably is a little bit of both, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the carrot and stick analogy goes a long way because it really is that. And I think you'll find that quite often it will be in the boardroom, it will be the regulation that makes people sit up and pay attention, but then they'll realize there's a lot of kind of will and desire within their kind of circles of influence that make that regulation much more palatable. So I think they can go hand in hand. It can obviously go the other way as well, where you get a lot of employees, and I've worked in an organization like this as well, where you get a lot of employees wanting to do the right thing and doing it at a small scale, but it wasn't until the regulatory stick came in that they got the kind of backing they needed from the board to actually go ahead and make it happen as policy rather than as kind of some kind of plaything.
And I think education's key too, right? It creates demand. So, you know, doing the work to actually educate the consumers, the employees and the companies to demand these type of changes, I feel like goes a long way, because then the market will kind of follow where, you know, everybody else wants it to go. So I think, education is going to be a key component for that, because it's going to push these businesses in the right direction to, you know, want to undertake these efforts on their own.
Absolutely. And I have a bit of a history in the education sector in the UK as well. And I'm currently talking with some colleges around England, because they want to deploy this technology across their websites. One, because there's quite stringent regulation for the education sector on this topic, but also two, it helps them kind of bring this into the curriculum and actually help the leaders of tomorrow, kind of the young generation at the moment, understand this from day one rather than trying to kind of adopt this knowledge later on in their life. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's I think a very pure example of education right in the education system.
Yeah, as I say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Those are the guys on all the time still and keep the water running.
Yeah, there's plenty of old dog around here, as you can see from the facial
expression. Let me tell you, I'm getting there as well. where do you see this movement evolving over the next few years?
So I am my mission at a high level is to create a more sustainable digital future for us all. Grand vision with that, and it starts kind of small. But what I'm worried about is that our civilizations have a history of stumbling into problems that we could have solved if we had only paid attention to them soon enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sitting in a conference that's dedicated to one of those problems right now. So what I'm hoping to do is in whatever way I can to raise awareness, educate, and provide tools to help us understand that actually digital is, it could be part of the problem, but it's definitely part of the solution. Yeah. So I see digital carbon online as that kind of first stepping stone in towards that bigger to that bigger piece. In terms of the platform itself, it started off on websites right now, but the roadmap takes us out to versions which cover other digital technologies and domains as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be quite an exciting few years as we take this on and kind of grow it and get it into many other spaces.
Yeah, and I see a lot of value here too, because the biggest problem for the consumer is, you know, they get stuff delivered to them magically from Amazon, but I don't think they think through the entire logistics process and everything that goes into it, producing the product, where the materials come from, shipping that stuff from overseas, from China to the US, and then all the logistics and everything to, you know, get that package to your doorstep. But everybody's constantly interacting with websites, apps on a daily basis. And, you know, kind of quantifying that and putting it front and center for people, I think is, you know, really powerful because that's something they interact with on a daily basis. And if you can really quantify it and show people, you know, the impact, I think that definitely goes a long way as opposed to a lot of the other processes that we know that do create a lot of carbon. It's hard for people to visualize the impact there.
I think it is. And this is the kind of the biggest hurdle I'm trying to overcome. And that is, we've become accustomed, particularly with the pandemic, that kind of coincidentally feels both so long ago and so recent, but we became so accustomed to doing everything digitally that spurred up the digital transformation, as you've probably heard, so much faster than any other CIO or CTO could have done. And we've become kind of accustomed to this idea that, well, actually digital is better than physical. And in many instances, it is. I mean, it really is. But what we've lacked is we've lacked any kind of data that provides that evidence. So I think one of the things that I'm trying to do is create those systems that can kind of build those data sources to help you say, actually, this is better and this is how much better. And when something goes wrong, and that's another thing with this, it's always, when you're working in the field of sustainability and climate, you're going to make mistakes because it's much more of an art than a science right now.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer of sharing those failures and those mistakes because we don't have time for everybody to make the same mistakes again. So yeah. Instead of just sharing all the successes and all the success stories, then we should be telling each other what didn't work. And actually, just yesterday, I think it was on our Instagram account, which is quite new, I started a new series that I'm trying to get a few other people involved in as well. And I won't say that tag right now, but it's sustainability F-ups. Those times when you've tried to do something sustainable, when you try to make the right decision, but it goes wrong. So just trying to share that as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. So what's next for Digital Carbon Online?
So we're in a growth stage right now. We've been going now for a couple of years. We've got a nice client base that's growing across public and private sector. I think in the next 5 years you'll see it grow beyond websites into other digital real estate as well. The big challenge for us is to integrate awareness of AI into that as well.
Yep.
So we're much further along in terms of understanding carbon footprint of the website than we were a couple of years ago. and all of our work is following the nascent standards that have been developed on that. I think we're probably 2-3 years later in that curve in terms of understanding the true impact of AI. So AI will become a piece of this for sure.
Definitely agree there. Yeah, like we mentioned, it's 100 times. I don't even know that ChatGPT is using that much energy. That's crazy. So I guess where can people learn more about Digital Carbon online and how can they participate with your business?
So the most straightforward way is to go to digitalcarbon.online. So you should find out a lot of information there. You can get involved directly there. But also we have a showcase page on LinkedIn as well. So you search for Digital Carbon online through LinkedIn. You'll find us there as well.
Excellent. Well, Scott, we definitely like working with you, definitely aligned with the mission and the values of your company. So we're excited to continue to grow. Digital Carbon Online is also available in the B2B SaaS marketplace, Nacho Nacho. Feel free to grab it today. And if you can, would you be able to give us your website domain too so people can type it in right now and go visit?
Absolutely. So it's digitalcarbon.online.
Digitalcarbon.online. There you go, everybody. Well, Scott, once again, thank you so much for making the time today and especially at such a busy event to get online with us and talk about this important topic. We look forward to working with you and growing our businesses together.
Andy, thank you ever so much. And thanks for everybody for joining us today.
Thank you, bud. Take care. Yeah, that's pretty good, man.